Welcome to the Fierce Female Network. I am your host, Fierce Manson. And today is Wednesday, honey. It is wonderful winning Wednesday. Yes, indeed. It's the first of the month, September the 1st, 2021, 4 p.m. on the Central Standard Time Zone. And it's 5 p.m. on the Eastern Standard Time Zone. And all my listeners know what I'm about to say. It's the Eastern Standard Time Zone. It rocks mama socks off, honey. And listen, you know I got to push it up to the ATL. Yes, indeed. And I must give a shout out to my team, Fierce Nation International. They are the hardest working team on the planet, and I do appreciate them so, so very much. Yes, indeed. And if you are listening, I want you to tell your friends and family to go to iHeartRadio.com and follow the Fierce Female Network. And on today, I do have with me David Van Du. Do say hello on today. Hi, David. How are you?
Well, I'm very well. How are you today?
Excellent. Thank you.
Well, good. I hope you're being spared the side effects of the hurricane, Ida.
I am. Yes, I am.
Good.
I'm in the Windy City, and we don't have any, you know, side effects. Or... yeah. So, listen, I know there's a lot that's going on with the film, Hamlet Horatio. I know there are some new things that's been in development. I want you to tell me all about that.
Well, there's so many things I don't know quite where to begin. The film has won another international award past week, and that makes a total of 8. The 7th was 3 or 4 weeks ago, and that was from Russia.
Oh, my goodness.
I hope Putin
okay.
doesn't find out about it, but it just goes to show the appeal to the script, the text, as well as the whole film all over the world. You know, I kept asking myself, what is the effect of this? There's something with this film and everything that you are aware of, David, came to me.
Uh-huh.
Out of this horrible period of pandemic, people are reaching to this film and seeing that it is a film of love and hope, and how love binds together and makes them conquer their fear of death and transcend. That's what this film is about. And I think that's what is engaging so many people. It's the hope and the uplift that the theme of the story is conveying. Now, this is no accident. This is in the script. This is what I've honed from Shakespeare and underlined.
Okay.
This is the power behind script. This movie, it is just one audience is over, and all the different platforms. It's now going to be on tomorrow's going to be on let's see, on Friday it's going to be on voodoo, and tomorrow it's going to start on Tubi. It goes along with Amazon, Apple TV, iTunes, Google Play, etc., and then Amazon Prime. Get to see it for free if you're on Amazon Prime. And we just made a contract to have the film start screening in over 90 countries.
Oh, my gosh.
That's not it. There's another contract coming up where there are going to be another 10 or 20 more. I mean, it's just beyond all my expectations. This film has a life of its own that's been guiding us. And whenever we had disappointments or setbacks, we bounced back and we stronger than before. So this has been a real moral lesson for all of us involved, the whole team involved in the creation of this film.
Yes. You know, I was looking at Amazon, and I do see, you know, a lot of the reviews. Of course, they're all five-star reviews, but I do have a question because one of the individuals who wrote a review, Miss Jessica, she's saying, and she's reaching out in her review, she's saying that she would love to see a version of Midsummer Night's Dream. She would love to see the creative team do the same thing with a Midsummer Night's Dream. Is that something that's possible or, you know, something that could happen?
Oh, it certainly could happen. I mean, Midsummer Night's Dream has been done as a ballet, as an opera, as a concert music. I mean, all of Shakespeare's works, my dear, just do so well in whatever form you transpose them into, because the moral meaning of the piece is strong. It's the power of love. All of Shakespeare's plays are exemplar of the power of love. The power of love to combat evil. The power of love to bring people together. The power of love to make us laugh, make us cry. It's the power of love.
Yes,
the power of love to make us see the Almighty.
Absolutely. You know, and I do love another review that I saw where one of the individuals who saw the movie said that you don't have to have a Shakespeare background to understand the story. And I think that's one of the things that individuals do love. You don't have to have a background in Shakespeare to understand and appreciate the film.
No, my niece, God bless her soul, said when she knew about the script and that it was that I was going to send her a review copy of it, said, "Oh, I'll have to go over my Shakespeare and go reread Hamlet and everything." And I said, "No, you don't. No, you don't. Please just come to it as a film, as you would any other film that you were interested in, that you saw the trailer, and you can see the trailer on Amazon, you know, and it's a very powerful trailer, that you would see just out of curiosity. Forget about it, Shakespeare, because it doesn't fit into your preconceived notion of what a Shakespearean play is like. It's not the play. It is the play, but it's not the play. It's Shakespeare's work, but reconceived in cinematic terms. It's a 4.5 drama that's been made into an hour and 40-minute film. And we've carefully edited the text so that out-of-date words and confusing paragraphs or sentences have been rethought out so that they play naturally, so that the actors know what they're saying and they can convey the meaning of those words to the audience. So many comments about this film have been made. Oh, the actors are so powerful. Yes, they are powerful. Don't get me wrong. But they've been helped along because of what we've done to make the text accessible so that you're not lost in words that you may or may not know because you haven't read the play or are a student of Shakespeare. And I felt it was my duty almost to take this liberty with Shakespeare and make these changes. Mm-hmm. And he would be the first person to do it if he were alive today.
Mm.
He kept updating his works as he went along, you know.
Yeah.
'Cause his plays were in repertoire. It didn't run, you know, for 2 years or 3 years, you know, big hits. No, they were in repertoire. They played. They put on a different play every day. Why? Because they could get more of an audience to come, couldn't they? If they're doing five or six plays at one time for them to choose from. And then they would change it again and put up another four or five plays in repertory. So over the years, these plays would come back and forth and Shakespeare would frequently make alterations in them, improvements.
I didn't want to interrupt, but I did want to acknowledge area code 347 that you are on the air. Is that David Wenzel?
Yeah, that's me. That's Wenzel. I was having problems calling because we're having some inclement weather here in New York and some high winds, and my service has been in and out. So luckily I've been I'm here now.
Yes.
Okay,
I'm glad
David,
to have you here.
I've been filling in. I've been talking about all the different things that happened, all the recent awards we received, and now that we're going to be in over 90 different countries available on streaming throughout the world. And I was talking about David, the remarkable reception that we've had to the piece, and we were reading some of the reviews that some of the stunning reviews that appear in Amazon, and discussing that, and we were discussing Shakespeare's other plays as a possible project in the future. And all I can say now is that we are so busy with the getting the news out about the play and getting it to film festivals, et cetera, and getting people to review it. We just got a fabulous review, which will be available on IMDb shortly, right, David? That one,
right.
That review that came out. And that's taking up our mind. You know, it's like giving birth to a child. A lot goes in to the process of that child being nurtured into life. But then there are many demands of it once you've given birth to it that are challenging in other ways and make demands of your time and your energy and your focus. Now, David's subconscious and mine are both spinning wheels, and David's is spinning faster than mine, and he has a number of projects that he's preparing. At the moment, it's just my subconscious that's working, but this isn't the first time that I've adapted Shakespeare. I did a musical adaptation of Shakespeare's comedy Love's Labor's Lost for the Folger Library Theater in Washington over 20, 25 years ago. And that was a fabulous experience too. But, you know, jokes aren't funny if you have to translate them. So I spent a lot of time honing the text so that that joke would play. And by so doing it, we got tremendous laughs by just sometimes just changing the order of a word or substituting a change for one word. And the Shakespeare text played with the same laughter and power that it did 450 years ago. So that's what we've done here. This is an hour and 40-minute film about the power of love. Hmm. The power of love to overcome evil and to bring people together and to make us overcome our fear of death.
And let me ask a question. Did you always want to do Hamlet? What made you select Hamlet as the film that you wanted to do? Did you always know you wanted to do Hamlet, or what kind of got you into selecting
Hamlet? I'll let David explain to you how this all came about. I fell in love with Hamlet when I was a youngster, when I was in high school. I had a fabulous teacher. I don't think I mentioned this to you. A fabulous teacher who opened the doors of Hamlet and great literature to me. And she was a superlative teacher. And she had to be extra superlative because she was a black woman. And black people, especially women, had very limited opportunities in those days. I'm an old man. So she really had to be on her game. And she passed on her love of literature and Shakespeare and the other great works to me. Taking the ball from her, and I've been passing it along to others. But David has to tell you how this all began.
Okay.
Go ahead, David.
Honestly, it began coming up now on the 20th anniversary of 9/11, but just before that, I was cast in a production of Hamlet at the Waterloo Bridge Theater in New York City.
Okay.
I was actually cast to play Laertes, and the lead actor had booked a TV series. So with like 7 days to go of opening, they asked me to jump up and play Hamlet. So, and we had like a 2 week or 3 week run, maybe 12 performances. So, you know, in lieu of doing that so quickly in a fast turnaround, which ended up really being memorization and just, you know, hoping to God the words stuck and I got through it, I felt after that I didn't get a real fair shake at it. And after having several conversations with David Vando, we started to manifest different interpretations of it and went on to actually mount 8 or maybe even 9 different interpretations of Hamlet that we kept revamping that got us along the line in moving towards what the script adaptation was. So it was done from trial and error in front of an audience during a great tenure of time. And that's how we've got, that's how it began. And then, you know, it's a very addicting play for an actor because, you know, it's the quintessential role for any actor to sink their teeth into, so to speak. So that's how it started.
Okay. You know, and I was talking with David earlier in regards to adopting a different Shakespeare play, and someone had asked about A Midnight Summer's Dream, if that was a possibility. It seems to me that maybe the fans of the film are asking or wanting more from you, from your creative team, as far as seeing other plays.
That's amazing. That would be great. I would love to do that. If we can recoup the financial money on this, and and have some money left over, I would jump on that in a heartbeat. You know, that's the caveat when you're producing independently. It's a very difficult pitch, especially in the studio system now more so than ever, because it's about packaging and names. When you take the independent route, you have more of the artistic integrity to produce and not have someone of a Hollywood level step in and say, well, we're going to change this and we're going to do it this way, and it kind of compromises the integrity of the piece. That's even if you can get a green light. So, you know, as an independent filmmaker, yes, I would love to be able to do that. And this film here is testing the waters in terms of if we have a market. We believe we have a market. We just don't know where we are financially yet because the film is so relatively new. It's hit all the digital platforms. We haven't got any of the financial reports yet to kind of gauge and see, you know, where we are financially and how it's working in that realm. I mean, we know we've been celebrated critically on the film, and that's been wonderful. But at the end of the day, films have to pay, they have to pay back their investors and stuff too. So that's what we're kind of gauging and looking for now as well. And that's why we, it's been catalyst for us to come back on shows and give revamps and give updates and encourage people if they haven't seen it to see it and, you know, all that, that kind of stuff. So, but yes, as, yes, that would be a great, great film. Great film. I mean, I know, you know, there was a time in, when Kenneth Branagh had his kind of say in Hollywood just up until his 4-hour interpretation of Hamlet. But before that, I believe he did a Much Ado About Nothing, and it had Hollywood stars in it that were actually quite good. I mean, Denzel Washington was in it. I mean, so it was a mix of British actors and American actors, and it did go off really, really well, better than I had expected. If that makes sense.
Okay. So at this moment, I do have to take a break from one of our sponsors, and I will be back momentarily. This is Jess Movie Poster, Jess Movie Poster, and we'll be back momentarily.
Yeah, the easiest strike twice. Looked like my type. Our connection was strong, but man, I was wrong. She stole my money and left me blood.
A bare wall doesn't qualify as art, but a movie poster does. The place to get a movie poster to decorate your wall is JustMoviePosters.com. JustMoviePosters.com have posters for dramas, romantic comedies, blockbusters, and more. Most items in JustMoviePosters.com are priced between $7 to $15 plus shipping. Go to www.JustMoviePosters.com to find the movie poster of your dreams today. That's www.JustMoviePosters.com.
And as you heard, that is JustMoviePosters.com. I do want to encourage you to take a visit to the website, JustMovie.com. It is a wonderful, wonderful site, and you can find a lot of different posters from a lot of different movies. Once again, that's JustMoviePosters.com. I do want you to take a look at the website. There are some phenomenal posters that's available for you. Up next, I do have another sponsor, Into the Woody Hills.
In this technology-filled world, it is easy for our kids to get lost in video games, the internet, and so on, such that they forget just how beautiful the world around them is. Does this sound like your little ones? Would you want them to change their perspective so that they can see that the world is full of so much richness and beauty? If so, the book from author Dwayne Williams, Into the Woody Hills, available on Amazon, is the help you've been searching for. This must-read book will resonate with your kids and teach them that there is more to life than just screens. It makes the perfect gift for any child in your life, your own kids, your grandchildren, nieces, nephews, even kids in your classroom. So are you ready to change your kids' lives? One story can change everything and help you achieve all of this. Into the Woody Hills is an amazing storybook designed for all children that will teach kids the beauty of the world around us. Order your copy right now on Amazon, Into the Woody Hills, from author Dwayne Williams.
All right, that's Into the Woody Hills. I do want you to take a look at the book. It is on Amazon.com. And you do know, we do have our children, they do like to be attached to their mobile devices. their iPad, their laptop. And so it's a great idea to get them to start reading. You can take a look at the book. It is at Amazon.com. It's Into the Woody Hills. It is a great paperback book. It really is. It really is great. And so when parents are busy in the home doing different things, their child can sit down and read the book. And I'm going to tell you, it is really, really great to introduce your child as early as possible with reading. And with this particular book, it goes up to age 12. And so it's very fitting for children that's age up to 12 to read the book. And so it's a great idea that is Into the Woody Hills. And now back with my guests, David Van Doo and David Wenzel. And I do have one other question in regard to Hamlet. I do see a lot of reviews on Amazon, and it is so fascinating, so great to see all the reviews just pouring in on Amazon and saying, bravo, how great the film is and how they really enjoyed it. It is just phenomenal, and it's really overwhelming. It's really overwhelming to see all the reviews. You know, to start, you know, it's like it's your baby. You have a little baby in you. You have the idea, and you nourish it, and you nourish it, and it grows, and it grows. And now you've given birth to the film, and you're seeing all the great things that's coming out of it, all the great awards that David was talking about earlier. And so it's really amazing. I can't even imagine how it feels to have such an accomplishment that you had with the film Hamlet. It's just really, it's unbelievable. It's just unbelievable.
Thank you.
Well, it's unbelievable to us, too, because while we always believed in the film and had our aspirations, we had a lot of naysayers, and people say, well, you don't have any stars in it. And my answer to that was, yes, but we have Shakespeare.
You know, I love that you said that. I love the point that you just made. You said you had a lot of naysayers. And, you know, it's really interesting. Okay, everyone knows that on this, you know, female network, I always have these life lessons, okay, and here comes one, people. So I love that you said you had a lot of naysayers. So everyone that's listening now, what is the value and the point of what he just said? What I want you to know, all entrepreneurs, you know, we're going to have naysayers and people that don't believe. Listen to mama. Here come mama. Mama is coming with her life lesson. All the naysayers, listen, honey, take all your naysayers, put them in the bottle and send them down the river. That's what you do. That is what you do. Let me tell you something. I'm serious. So, you know, people that listen to the network, they know every time there's a show, there's going to be a life lesson. So I'm telling you guys that's listening right now, you know, take them, put them in a little ball, ship them on down to Gilligan's Island. You know what I mean? And so if they get to Gilligan's Island, you know they ain't never coming back to where you are. Now, listen, I had the same thing when I started with Fierce Female Network. Everybody said, you know, you can't do all that. You just can't have that much going on at one time because people can't focus. They can't see what you're doing. You got a radio show. You got television. You got yada, yada, yada. This is what everybody told me. And now I got so many clients, I don't know what to do myself. I'm telling you. And it's just phenomenal. So I love what you said about the naysayers. You're absolutely right when it comes to naysayers. And then what happens is, you know, you go on with your project because you got faith, you believe in it, and you just, your soul's on fire. You're totally stoked about what you're doing. And then when it happens, people are like, what? You're kidding. They really did it? But yeah.
Yeah. Right. That's right.
That's what's made America great, isn't it?
Yes, yes.
Because we have the opportunity to do things and the freedom to do things that other people are denied.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
It's incumbent upon us to utilize the special God-given gifts we've received
mm-hmm.
and put them to good use.
Yes.
That's how I feel
absolutely.
About it. It's, I wrote a play many years ago when I was first starting out. It's about the death, the last 5 years of the famous French playwright Molière. And I worked very hard on it, of course, and then I tried to get people interested in it. And in those days, you had to get hard copies and mail them to people. You couldn't email scripts and things like that. There was nothing like that. You had to go out and buy a cover and then spend at least 5 or 10 cents a page to get it Xeroxed and copied and put it in a binder and then spend $4 or $5 to send it and things like that. And I was doing dozens and dozens of these, and I was sending them to every actor I could think of, every theater I could think of, every producer, et cetera, et cetera. And I remember getting one copy back that I had received from a theater in the Midwest, and evidently they had left the commentary, either intentionally or not, I don't know, but the reader for the company had said about the script. And he said, well, Mr. Vando has gone and told the story of Molière, as the title indicates, but frankly, I think the dialogue is impossible.
Mm.
Well, that hurt, but I just went through the script, replaced any pages that had been dirtied or whatever, bent in any way, and replaced them, put them in a new folder, and I sent it out again.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, some months later, I had sent this number of playwriting contests.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a phone call.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, I was working at the Metropolitan Opera House.
Mm-hmm.
As a super and an actor and things in the company. And I get a phone call from my mother saying that I've just received a call from the University of Michigan
mm-hmm.
that you won their playwriting contest. Wow. Wow. And all the people at the Met said, I want to read that script.
You know what? You know, listening to what... Oh, I'm sorry.
It just kept on going, and it was produced in Chicago, and then it was produced in London, and...
Okay.
And you know what? They never had... The audience never had any trouble with the dialogue. None.
You know, it's really amazing what you're saying. And I was listening to what you were explaining, and I'm telling you, it's almost like I know that what you've done with Hamlet, Horatio is amazing. But to me, what I'm hearing from both of you, you know, this particular film is really a symbol of hope. You know, it's almost like, here comes Mama. Y'all look out now. Here comes Mama with a life lesson. Okay, get ready, David. There it comes. Okay, listen. Everybody, y'all, you come into your laptop and your mobile device. Listen at Mama. Whenever I say Mama, they always know here it comes. It's almost like Hamlet, Horatio. This film is almost, it's like, you know, when you're in the Statue of Liberty, you know how when you travel and the people are tourists and they get to see the Statue of Liberty, something they never seen before, and everybody is so at awe because they're looking at her, hold that, you know, the torch up in her hand. This film, Hamlet, Horatio, is like, it's almost like that. It's almost like the Statue of Liberty, and it's almost like a symbol of hope to give to everybody.
Well, it's funny that you say that, because from my bay windows in my apartment, I have an unobstructed view of the Statue of Liberty.
Mm.
And before I get up in the morning,
mm-hmm.
I see it. And when I go to bed at night, I see it.
Mm-hmm.
And even on stormy, dark nights, I still see the Statue of Liberty.
Wow.
So
I think this
that's
film
the
is,
hope
yeah,
that's symbolized
yeah.
in this film, as I was talking
yeah.
to before. That's
you know,
what's
and
making people
you,
attracted to it.
You know, and we all can relate because what you did, it gives everyone hope. It gives every human being hope because what you did is so phenomenal and amazing. you know, it's like it gives us hope. It's rejuvenating our spirit, and especially such a time as this, where everyone in the universe is going through the pandemic, and different things is happening, but yet we have a symbol of hope because of what you did, and you pushed through, and you pushed, and now you have this amazing, amazing piece of work, Hamlet Horatio, that's receiving so many accolades and reviews and just positive. It's just being applauded, you know, everywhere. And it's just so inspirational. And we all thank you. We all thank you for what you've did.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for letting us share it with you and all your listeners.
You're welcome. You're very welcome. I do want you to go ahead and wrap up. We are pretty much out of time. And don't tell me it's like there's not enough great things to say about what both of you have accomplished, your creative team. It's just, you know, because everyone in high school and sometimes, you know, children start early learning about Shakespeare, and it is just so rewarding to see, you know, just because, let me put it this way, both of you have won. We all win. We all win on this one. This is what you have did for America, the both of you and your creative team. We all win because we can all understand, you know, Shakespeare and the struggle when we went to school. Of course, when I went to high school and I studied Shakespeare. But with this one, you don't have to have a Shakespeare background to understand what your creative team has did. So we all win because we all get to enjoy the fruits of your labor and get to see it on film.
Thank you so much. I can't thank you enough for that feedback. I really, really means a lot. Especially for David Vando and myself, of, you know, 20 years in the making, and we haven't remotely crossed the finish line yet, because now it's all about press, marketing, brand awareness, and getting people to see the movie. So the journey continues for us.
Did you have any closing remarks that you wanted to make as we're closing out?
Well, I'm an old man. And you have no idea what your words and what the reaction the general public is having to this piece means to someone of my age. And like my former teacher, who gave so much to me, along with my family and friends, I can't pay them back. Most of them are all dead now. But I can't leave this behind. And working with David Wenzel, who's been a mentor of mine, it's our shared gift from one generation to another.
You know, I was thinking about what you were saying. And I need to say this, and then we're going to wrap up. It's almost like this show and iHeartRadio, this particular show and this interview, you know, it's going to memorialize everything that you did. I was thinking about when I used to do a lot of research when it came to history. I was so into history, and I knew how to pull up records from the 1800s and 1700s, and I could listen to the old records that was stored in the archives. Oh my goodness. Wow. So what I'm saying is this interview and what you're saying here today is going to be memorialized. It will be able to be pulled up. So when your children grow up, they'll still be able to pull up this interview and listen to what you had to say about your work and what you've did and what you've accomplished.
That's amazing. And that is true. That is absolutely
yeah.
true.
Yeah. Wow. That's amazing. I am out of time, but I don't know, it's just a feeling of, I don't know, it just, I got the tingles when I said that. I really did. I really got the tingles. And so I really want to thank both of you for coming on today. I really do. And I think what is happening is even still greater than what we all realize. what you're experiencing, both of you are experiencing with the work that you've did, I think it's even far greater. And I think it's going to be so many more awards that's coming because of what you did. It's such a labor of love what the two of you have did. And I'm telling you, it's like I'm really stoked. I am so stoked for both of you, and I'm so happy for both of you. You know, it's just, it's a blessing. It's a blessing what both of you have did and what both of you have accomplished. It's really a blessing, because what it does is encourage everyone who are artists and authors. It's very encouraging to all of us, and it helps us all to keep pushing on every single project that we have, because we have fire in our belly. There's a fire in our belly that can't be put out. You know, and that's what you did. The fire that was in your belly, no one could quench that. Nobody could put that out. And so when that's in our belly, oh, it just can't be stopped. There's just no way to stop it. And so thank you. Thank you. A million thank yous for what you have done.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're more than welcome. So you guys, I appreciate you coming on today. And please reach out at any time. Come back. You know, we will drop whatever we're doing. We'll be at the Grammys taking our award. And we're going to say, hey, wait a minute. You know, we got David to interview. And so thank you, guys. You're really special. You're very special to this network. You really are.
Thank you so much.
You're more than welcome. You're more than welcome. I am out of time, folks. This has been the Fierce Female Network on iHeartRadio. Thank you all for listening. I really do appreciate it so very much. Thank you.